The last few weeks, we've been studying kind of the same, basically the same kind of day. Maybe it was a couple of days, I don't know. But it's a really famous sermon that Jesus preached pretty early on in his ministry. Kind of people had just started to kind of know who he is. Who can tell me what is this sermon called in the Bible? Has a name. Levi. No. Not called that. There's a name for this sermon. I think it's probably been said in the last couple of weeks.
Matthew.
That's the book that's writing. That's who's writing about it in his book. Matthew. But does anybody know the name of the sermon? All right, Sermon on the Mount. And the reason that that is called that, if you remember all the way back in chapter 5, remember Jesus was traveling around. He had just gotten some of the first disciples that had joined him and were following him. And remember, he was healing people. And when you start healing people of their sickness and their disease and the problems they've been having, what started to happen? He became really popular, right? Yeah, when you're doing those kind of things, people start following you. So he had these big crowds of people that were coming out from the cities, and he would heal people. And so while he has this big crowd here, he was also doing some preaching, and he was teaching some things, but he would also take some time and he would just talk to just his disciples and he would teach them some things. So that's what chapter 5 of Matthew and chapter 6 and chapter 7 are all part of, this big kind of lesson, all these kind of things that he's teaching this big crowd of people and also his disciples who are there, his first disciples. Okay? And it happened to be kind of on the side of a mountain. That's why it's called the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Mount being kind of the short version of mountain or mountainside. So that's where this is all kind of taking place. What we're going to talk about in chapter 7 is the end of that sermon that Jesus is preaching. And I'm going to start at the very end, and you're going to recognize it because we just sang a song about it. And it's a fun song. Maybe you've sang some other songs about the wise man and the foolish man. How many people have sung some songs about the wise man and the foolish man, building their house on the rock, building their house on the sand? Yeah, I think there's several different songs about that. So let's read the Bible and see what Jesus says when he's talking about this, because there's some important things that maybe we don't think about. We just think of it as this fun thing of like, well, the wise man builds his house on the rock and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. And then we kind of walk away from it and we think, well, of course, that makes sense. But we don't really think about what that means for ourselves. And what are we supposed to take away from that? Are we supposed to learn something and maybe do something differently based on what Jesus says here? So we're going to start in verse 24 and then we're going to go back and kind of read the rest of the chapter. Verse 24, this is very important. The very first phrase here says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." So we see that the reason Jesus is telling them about this wise man who built his house is that the people that listen to Jesus and they hear all these things that we've been learning in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7. If we listen and we learn and we actually do the things that Jesus is talking about here, then we can be like that wise man. That can make us wise. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something really hard, and that's to think a whole year back. Last year in ABC Kids, what was the book of the Bible that we studied?
Yeah. Proverbs.
The book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs had a lot of wise teaching in it, right? Well, this part right here, these chapters are almost like Jesus giving some additional proverbs on how we are supposed to live if we're following him. If we want to know what Jesus would act like, we said last year, we said we would listen to what Proverbs says. And if we act the way that Proverbs said we should act, then we will be acting like Jesus would act. Well, if we act the way that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, then we are going to be doing the things that Jesus would do. And that's how we're supposed to live, right? We're supposed to be following Jesus' example. That's what being a Christian is. If you have trusted Jesus, believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and you are living your life in a way that honors God, then you will be doing the things that Jesus is talking about here in chapter 5, 6, and 7, okay? So it's not just some good advice. It's not just, well, you know, that's one way to be good. No, this is Jesus is saying this is the way to live like God wants you to live. All right? So if we hear and we do the things that Jesus is saying, then we will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 25 goes on. It says, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house." All right, first of all, this is an important thing. How many people like really bad storms that do a lot of damage and destroy things? No, those are not fun to go through, are they? We just had a big storm that went through parts of Florida, and it completely wiped out people's homes and their schools and their churches. Those are not fun things to go through. Well, Jesus says that this wise man who built this house on the rock, even though he is doing what God said, he still has this big storm that comes into his life. And Jesus says because he was wise, because he listened, or she listened to what God or what Jesus said, their life was able to withstand all of those terrible storm circumstances that came up. The heavy rain, the flooding, the winds. But his house, his life, stayed together. Okay? It says, "And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." And by that's an example saying the rock is like God's word. Jesus is our rock. If we build our lives on Jesus and on the things he taught, then our life can withstand those difficult things that come along, because no matter who you are, you're going to have some difficult things that come into your life that you have to deal with. I know some of you maybe have already had to deal with some really difficult things that have come into your life, even as someone that's only, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Even though you're young, you can still have some really hard things that happen, right? Verse 26 gives us the opposite, though. It says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them." So there's a key thing there. It says some people are going to hear what Jesus says. They're going to hear it and they're going to listen, but they're going to decide they're just not going to live their life that way. They're going to do their own thing. They're not going to do what Jesus says to do. Let's see what happens to them. "They'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So if we ignore the things that Jesus says, if we decide, I'm smarter, and I can do things better my own way, and I'm not going to listen to what Jesus says or what the Bible teaches us, what God's Word says, then when those storms come into our life, there's a good chance that there will be some damage to your life. And that's what Jesus is warning us about here at the very end of all of this teaching that he's done, saying it's not enough just to listen and to hear what is being said. Jordan, sit up, please. It's not enough to just listen. We have to actually start doing those things in our lives. And that's a choice we have to make every single day. It's not like you can just say, okay, I'm going to decide to do exactly what Jesus says, and then that's enough. No, every single day, every single choice you make, you need to be thinking, how does God want me to live? What would Jesus want me to do in this situation? Well, let's go back because we're going to learn a few more things about what Jesus was talking about. Okay, at the very beginning of chapter 7. Chapter 7 has some of the most quoted parts of Jesus' sermons that he ever gave. I think even people who never go to church know a lot of the things in chapter 7 of Matthew. Okay? Here's the first one, and this is definitely one that most people know. It says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Have you ever heard that? Don't judge people or you're going to be judged. All right? That's what Jesus says here. He says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." He says, this is why. He says, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." So Jesus says, you need to be really careful if you're going to start pointing fingers at other people and telling them that what they're doing is wrong. Now, here's the question. Are we supposed to know what is right and wrong and be able to say, well, the way that they're acting is wrong? Well, Jesus is giving a whole lot of things that we're not supposed to do, right? And he's giving a whole lot of things that we're supposed to do. So we should know the difference between right and wrong. So Jesus isn't saying, well, we have no idea what right and wrong are, so you better not judge anyone, because no, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, he's saying, don't use yourself as the measuring stick for other people. Because that's what we like to do a lot of times. We like to say, okay, well, I'm the standard of being good, and then I'm going to point out where other people are not as good as me, and I'm going to make them feel bad about their life so that I can look good. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about using yourself as the standard to judge other people. And he says, if you do that, then someone else who has done maybe more good things than you is going to point out where you're failing in the same way. So you got to be careful. Don't use yourself as the standard that other people need to be judged by. He goes on a little bit more in verse 3. He says, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your own, that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Have you ever gotten a little piece of like dirt in your eye? That hurts, doesn't it? It doesn't matter how small it is. Or maybe even, have you ever gotten like a piece of sand at the beach in your eye? Oh, it's just, you can't get rid of it, right? It just kind of scrapes away in there. It's hard to see, isn't it? It's hard to like, you got to close your eye and it hurts when you close your eye, but it hurts when you open it. What Jesus is saying here is people who judge other people, a lot of times they have things in their own life that everybody can see are sins, are wrong. And so when you go around pointing out other people's small sins, you may have a giant sin that everybody else can see, and you can't really tell other people what they're doing wrong because you're not even doing the right things in your own life. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, be careful in judging other people because you might actually have some things that need to be changed and fixed. He goes on, he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? So let's say have you ever had an eye patch on for any reason? You can't see anything with an eye patch on, right? Let's say you had a blindfold on. So this is almost like somebody saying, okay, I realize I've got a blindfold on, but let me get that piece of sand out of your eye. Would you want them to help you? Yes. if they had the blindfold on? Oh, no. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you need to be careful that you're not some blindfolded person trying to help other people get tiny little things out of their eye, out of their life. All right? He says, first, you need to make sure that you're doing the things that are right. Make sure that you're actually following Jesus before you start pointing out how other people should be following Jesus better or listening to God better. We need to be careful about those things. All right, let's go a little bit further. This is another song that we sang. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So we just sang a song that had that, right? It talked about asking and seeking and knocking. And what he's talking about there is he's saying, if you want to actually know what the truth is, then you will be looking for it. You will be trying to understand. We don't understand everything perfectly. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding, well, why does God do things this way? Or why does he want me to act this way? In some of those other chapters, there were some things that sounded kind of backwards. Like, I'm supposed to just let people, you know, take advantage of me? If somebody hits me, I'm not supposed to hit them back? If somebody, you know, takes something from me, I'm supposed to give them another thing? Those all seem kind of the opposite of what we want to do, isn't it? So, but Jesus is saying here, like, if you want to know the truth, then if you seek for it, and if you seek for it in God's word, he is going to help you to understand it. He is not going to keep it hidden from you if you really want to know the truth of what God wants you to know. All right? And he goes on, he compares it to this. He says, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? So he says, if your child came up and said, I'm really hungry and I want a piece of bread, no good parent is going to say, okay, well, here's some rocks, right? Or, I really need some fish. All right, well, here's some deadly snakes. Maybe you can eat those. No, that's not the way we treat people we love, right? And so this is what Jesus says. He says, if you, being evil, so us as humans, we're sinful, right? All of us are sinful. We don't always do the right thing. He says, if you, as humans, even know how to take care of your children, even though you're sinful, he says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So he's saying, if you really want to know the truth, if you really want to know how God wants you to live, he is going to help you to understand that. He's not going to hide it from you. He's not going to give you a rock instead of bread. Okay? God is going to be good to you. All right, another thing, verse 12. Again, this is maybe the most famous of all of these verses. I'm sure you've heard this. It says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Have you heard that before? Sometimes people say it as, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's another translation. There's actually another verse in the book of Luke that is similar, but it's worded slightly differently. So, but that sounds like a good way to live, doesn't it? Why should we live that way? Do you want bad things to happen to you? Do you want people to be mean to you? No, none of us would say, you know, I really love it when people are mean to me. That's my favorite thing. No, we like it when people are kind, right? We like it when people are generous. We like it when people put our needs ahead of theirs. So what Jesus is saying is, if you expect other people and want other people to behave that way and treat you that way, then you should be treating others that way first. Now, is everybody going to treat you that way back? No, sadly, that's not the way it's going to happen. But Jesus says, this is how I want you to live, even if people don't treat you the right way back. You keep doing the right thing, even if others don't. Okay? That's what will make you be like that wise man who built his house on the rock. All right, just a few more things. Verses 13 through 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So Jesus is saying that a lot of people are going to follow the wrong path. That path of the foolish man who builds his house on the sand, that is what most people are going to follow. They're going to want to do things their own way. They aren't going to want to listen to what Jesus says. They're not going to want to listen to what God says. They're not going to want to listen to the Bible. They're not going to want to change their life to act the way God that Jesus is talking about. But he says, unfortunately, the path that goes that direction, that big, easy, wide path that everybody thinks is like, well, this is awesome. This is so easy. It's the one that actually leads to destruction. And it's the small path, the one that you have to really, remember he said you need to ask and you need to seek and you need to knock. That path is a narrow path. And only the people who really, really want to find that path, it says, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it." So all of these kind of tie together to say that there's God is the one who is directing us. He's the one who's changing our heart. We've talked about that. God is the one who saves us. He's the one who helps us to understand what the Bible is saying. But there is this part where we're seeking and we're really honestly wanting to know the truth. And if we're doing that, God is going to help us find that narrow gate. And he is going to help you to know that the things that the Bible is teaching are true. And he's going to change your heart. And I hope that that's happening over this time that we've been studying in Matthew. And I would hope that all of us would want to say, we want to be like that wise man that builds their house on the rock. So when those storms of life come to all of us, we can have a life that stands up against them and is still able to follow Jesus. Okay? That's what he's teaching. That's what he wants us to know. All right, now we'll finish up. Verse 28. So at the end of his sermon, it says, "When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes." So they recognized the things that Jesus was saying, the things that he was teaching, it was different than the other religious leaders when they would teach them. They were teaching things that they had just been taught by someone else, and they knew that. Jesus was teaching things that were straight from God's mind. Because Jesus is God, he could do that. And so his teaching was different. It helped them understand the way life is better than they did before. And that's what the Bible can do for us, because this is also God's word. All right, I want you guys to think about that. Think about what we've been learning, how it's things that are going to change our life if we really follow them, if we really understand them. And if we put our trust in Jesus. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and just thank you for this amazing chapter and just so many things that are memorable. But most of all, I pray that you would help us to understand that these are things that are meant to change our lives. They're things that are meant to help us understand who God is, who Jesus is, and the fact that he came and gave his life as a substitute for our sinfulness, and that he died on the cross for us. We just thank you so much for that he rose again to show that he had the power to do that. And if we put our trust in him, if we put our faith in him, that we can be part of the family of God and that we can actually live this way that Jesus is talking about. In Jesus' name, amen.